today we're getting towards the end of the sermon series we've been in on renewal. And I'm excited today we have five people who are going to share a testimony of how God has been at work in their life, maybe this past summer or at a different time. And I don't know if you noticed it in the psalm, but even in the psalmist says, I want to declare your deeds, your righteous deeds to the next generation. And it's important that we take time in our church life together to hear one another's testimonies of how God has been at work. And even the psalmist said that there's been bitterness, there's been difficult times, but God, I trust that you are going to bring healing, as Wendy so beautifully shared. So to kick us off, I'm going to invite Erica Stahl to come up, and she's going to share with us our first testimony.
Good morning, church family. I have to tell you, I am very nervous to do this. But there is a part of me that the spirit within said, this is something you need to do. Because I felt that when I do meet my father, and he recalls this day for me, I want to be able to say, yes, I was willing to make a fool of myself and come up here and let them know how I felt I was renewed by the spirit within me. So I think it was Pastor Zach's in his sermon that said, renewal is not a destination. And for this, I'm actually delighted, because I think that means that each and every moment is an opportunity for me to listen to the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit that speaks within me and prompts me to take courage and to follow those promptings. And during this season of renewal, one of the promptings that I felt very deeply was to restart a childhood activity that I had done, which was journaling. So I dragged out a journal, a brand new one, this one, and I started prayer journaling to God. I grew up Catholic, so developing a personal close relationship with God was just something not encouraged. And I can definitely say in these past 3 months, it's been amazing how far I feel like, or how close I guess I feel like I have come to really have that relationship with God and to truly feel it. And this has now been happening before the sun rises and anyone else is awake. And it's very exciting. And I have also seen renewal at Faith as a community. And probably the way that I see this or saw this most this summer was the Wolf family invited me to live in their home for 2 weeks this summer to get a jump start on my recovery physically and emotionally from an illness that I have suffered from since age 10. It was a home where I was surrounded with love and Christian living. And for one of the first times, I felt like I was a part of something good and loving. So I want to say thank you to Rick, Ann, Judy, Rachel, and Aaron. Thank you. And if that isn't a perfect example of Christian renewal happening in our faith community, then I really don't, I'm not sure what Christian living and giving really are. And of course, all praise and thanksgiving goes to our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ for for this renewal that is happening. Thank you.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Stephanie Morton, soon to be Stephanie Mon, in 2 weeks. Yeah. I would like to share with you today, actually, the story behind one of my tattoos. I got it about a year and a half ago. I'm going to share Psalm 126 with you first. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying seeds with them. So I know I'm far away, so you can't really see my tattoo. It is of four flowers, and they're growing out from the verse below, which is Psalm 126, 5 through 6. Each one represents one of my sisters and I. We experienced abuse as we were children, and we came up as I was in college in my freshman year to report this abuse against our abuser. It has finally come to a close as of December this past year, and it has come to a final justice that God is in control of, which has become really difficult and really good as I wrestled with. Not many of you knew about this. I shared it with few people because it's so hard. But even those who didn't know, they knew I was struggling and hurting and working through this pain, and I have seen a renewal, and sometimes I feel far from God, but I see God in the church, and so I've been able to feel close to God through this church and through the people walking alongside me. The flowers are growing out of our tears. Each of my sisters and I have cried and worked through so much, and I've been able to see God working through our sorrows and our pain, and I know it's not done yet. Like Erica said, that renewal is not a destination. And I know that it is a still long journey for each of my sisters and I. But it is something that we are looking forward to join in heaven, glorifying God. And we are able to see God through his justice and his continuance of deliverance for each of my sisters and I. I've had many people ask me, how are you still a Christian after my entire childhood? And I honestly, I can't tell you the answer because I don't know myself. And I point to God. And I honestly, that is the answer. God is the reason I'm still a Christian. I wouldn't be here if it were my choice. I don't know where I'd be. God has delivered me time and time again, and I can point out multiple times in my life where God has sustained me and allowed me to find comfort and safety and continue. So that is the story I'm sharing today. Thank you all.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Claudio Moya from Chile. My pronunciation is not pretty well, so I am going to read it, and in order to don't forget and repeat anything. This series of renewal has helped me reflect and be intentional about this topic over the summer. To talk about this, I must go back in time during my 8 years as a pastor. I suffered two burnouts during those years. I had to lead the church during the COVID, which was very difficult, and along with that, helping to plant a church in Chile. All of that was stressful and ultimately made me take the decision to leave the pastorate in 2021. In 2022, my brother-in-law, who also studied at Wheaton College and who some of you know, challenged us to come. We finally decided to come to Wheaton to study a master's degree, to direct my career towards academics. Without leaving the pastoral area, which I love. In this sense, it has been 2 years of great joy and blessings as a family, but has also been difficult because Chilean and American cultures are very different in terms of relationships. During this adaptation to the new culture, language, lifestyle, and new relationships, both for us and our children, we have found fresh air of renewal from God by finding a true, honest, and sincere community, both in this church and in the place where we have been living for a month. We are living in furlough homes, a ministry that rents houses to missionaries and students, where we are blessed to be able to share time with Kevin and Sarah Johnson and their beautiful daughters. Who are our neighbors. And also with several other missionaries' families from around the world. After 8 years in the pastorate, where we serve with all our strength, where in addition to our 4 children, we foster cared 2 little girls. We have found a community again in this church and also in the place where we live. This has given us the desire to return to serve others after almost 3 years of pause. The church community, the community group, and the family retreat have been key in this sense. All of this has resulted in a renewal of the Lord through His community to be vulnerable again and to put ourselves at the service of others. God has His time as His ways of dealing with each one of us and serving one another through His church. Thank you.
My name's Gene Frost, and I'm a longtime member here at Faith Covenant Church. And my story of renewal begins last spring, even before the summer. And it came as a part of participating in Faith Academy. Faith Academy is our adult education during the Sunday school hour before church during the fall or during the school season. And I would encourage anyone here to take seriously the challenge to join us on Sunday mornings for that hour before church to study God's word and different topics. Well, the study this spring led to what I feel like was a renewal for me. Now, some of you know me well enough to know that I have a high desire to proclaim the truth. Now, this came out in my younger days when the referee would make a mistake on the floor and it was my prophetic duty to point out that that wasn't a foul. And I would carry that on into other conversations and even into political conversations when I thought I knew the truth or I thought I saw the way. And I anticipated this political season with some trepidation because of that proclivity that I have to maybe declare the truth in a way that doesn't always bring peace and joy and love. So I'm going to watch a series this spring as part of Faith Academy that talked about Christians approaching the political arena. And as we watched and sat in that time, I think my perspective was transformed. I want to tell you one story that came in that series. It probably was a turning point for me. One of the teachers was David French. He's a New York Times columnist. And his wife, who's not a columnist, wrote a pro-life article. And she got blasted in social media. She wasn't used to that. She wasn't sure how social media worked and the kind of words that came at her and the criticism and the judgment. And she said, what do I do as a Christian? How do I respond to that? Do I fight evil with evil? Do I fight back? And she was convicted. She said, you know what? I need to show Christian love. So there was one woman in New York, Mrs. Katzenberg, who had been particularly critical. And so Mrs. French decided to give her a phone call. She called her up, said, this is Mrs. French. I just want to know if there's anything I can do to help you. And Mrs. Katzenberg responded, yes, you can get me some food. This was during COVID. Mrs. Katzenberg was handicapped. She was limited to her apartment in New York and literally couldn't get food. Mrs. French said, I can help with that. And they started calling delicatessens, and they needed an order for 4 bananas and some other food, and they were going to get the delivery the next day, and it didn't come. So they made some more phone calls, and in desperation over that next week, they talked every day. Mrs. French and Mrs. Katzenberg, how can we help? How can we get this? And finally, Mrs. Katzenberg calls up and says, I got 54 bananas. The floodgates opened up. That friendship went on, and during this video, in studio, Mrs. French is sitting next to Mrs. Katzenberg, still politically, totally different and divided in their opinions, but Mrs. Katzenberg said this, Mrs. French is the best friend I've ever had. She led with love. She led with love and let God take care of the pieces. Renewal for me, I need to leave with love. My political conversations have to be characterized by, did you feel loved when you walked away from that conversation? Did you feel cared for? Did you see the love of Christ? I still am committed to truth. I'm still committed to the gospel. But if it's not heard through love, it's not going to be heard. And this was a renewal for me. And I thank this church for being a part of that education and training. And encourage you as we go into this very tough political time to lead with love.
Good morning. I think most of you know me. I'm Sarah Johnson. When I was 21 years old, I went to Guatemala as a hunger intern through Wheaton College. And I was given the opportunity to work with a team of talented Guatemalans who produce videos for kids of Old Testament Bible stories. And the videos are called deditos, which means little fingers in Spanish, because the characters are real fingers dressed up and filmed in miniature with tiny sets and costumes. José Abel de la Cruz, the director of this project, was a creative genius. He made the sets, he made the costumes, the music, and so much more. He was passionate about creating these videos that could be translated and dubbed into Mayan languages and many languages around the world. Right now, they've been dubbed into 50 languages. He had a deep faith in God and a willingness to always question and dig down deep to the foundational truths under the Bible stories. And he and I learned so much together. One of the best things about my job with Deditos is that as the script writer and lesson writer and theological consultant, I got to study Bible stories for weeks and months and think creatively about what these stories reveal about God's character and then translate these ideas into images and plot and character development and also visual worksheets for Sunday school lessons I wrote. I loved my job, you can see. And I also got to spend a lot of time with kids, which was very refreshing for me. Before going to Guatemala in college, I struggled a lot with doubt about God's existence and confusion as my worldview in college expanded to include things like postmodernism, which I don't think I really understood, but I still accepted on some level. However, working on Deditos helped me to rebuild a strong foundation of my faith in God's character and goodness. So I learned so much also from my Guatemalan friends who I lived with about being grateful for the simple things in life, like food, friends, beautiful clothes, and God's presence with us. God worked in my life through years of living in Guatemala. I was there for 14 years, by giving me wise mentors and friends along the way. And eventually, meeting and marrying Kevin also helped me to grow in my faith in many ways. Okay, so fast forward now to this summer. I no longer officially work for Deditos on account of being a full-time mom. I am still deeply invested in the project. I write lessons for them from time to time, and I was invited to be a board member. Out of the blue, one Saturday night, I got a phone call in June. I got a phone call from my parents who told me the tragic news that Jose Abel de la Cruz, director of Deditos and a good friend of mine, drowned in the ocean. He just went out for a swim and didn't come back. I was shocked and sad, of course, and one of my biggest questions was, what is going to happen to Deditos? Because there's really no one who could lead this ministry like Jose Abel. And the next morning was Sunday, and I came to church. I think Emily Langen preached. I was still in shock. I did not know what any of this meant. And of course, most of you didn't know that this had happened. But as the worship music started, tears just started flowing down my cheeks. I raised my arms in worship, and God put this thought in my heart. If Jesus hadn't come, hadn't died and risen from the dead, everything we studied all year with Nate, then none of this makes any sense. But if he really is who he said he is, then Jose Abel's life has so much meaning and purpose. And that day I worshiped God with all my heart. And I think one of the songs we sang was, "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song." I made a trip that week to Guatemala for Jose Abel's memorial service. And God provided people to help Kevin take care of the girls. My mom came. Even Elaine Clausen and Cynthia Erickson helped watch them. I asked a lot of people to pray for me. And during my entire trip, God's presence was so real to me. I could tell that God was working in many people's lives, using us to comfort and encourage one another, and powerfully using his word and the testimony of Jose Abel's life to challenge others. It was especially encouraging to see how all the people involved in the Deditos project responded with a renewed commitment to see the work continue. And unity, and our prayer time together, I could feel God's spirit working. Being in Guatemala again was also healing for me after 3 years away. Since I was able to visit with dear families who've lost loved ones in the last few years since we left. And prayer has been central to the renewal God is bringing in Deditos. While in Guatemala, I heard a testimony that really encouraged me to pray more. Earlier this year, I met a missionary who was planning to introduce Deditos at her church in rural Guatemala. And I started praying for the Sunday school teachers from that church, but I never heard much about what happened. And during a special prayer time on my trip with the other Deditos staff, we watched a video interview where the pastor's wife from that church talked about how They had never before had any material like Deditos that was uniting all the Sunday school teachers. She told how both the kids and the teachers had been impacted by lessons about creation to realize that God took special care to make us. And even though she had taught many times about creation before, it took on a whole new meaning for her when she watched Deditos. And it was so fun to watch her face as she talked about her experiences with the videos and lessons, especially because I had been praying for them. So this and other experiences renewed my love for God, my trust in his goodness, and my commitment to pray for the people I love, especially the little team of people who are continuing with the work of producing Deditos and dubbing it into many languages. Thank you.